And take the word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. The book of Daniel, chapter 6. We have three series going. Our Old Testament book is the book of Genesis. Our New Testament book is the book of Matthew. And our topical series are night scenes of Scripture. And we've come to another night scene that took place in the Word of God. It's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I'm not sure if you were aware of that or not, but it happened at night. And so we're going to be preaching on this chapter today, Daniel chapter number 6. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1, Daniel 6 verse 1. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I don't ever take for granted that you come to this place and put yourself under this preaching hour to hear what God has laid on my heart, and I'm so thankful you're here today. Thank you for coming here. God bless you. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. And whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he should be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Skip to verse 20. "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel." This is King Darius speaking. "And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase in verse 20. It's the title of my message this morning, Daniel, servant of the living God. Daniel, servant of the living God. Now again, I remind you, this is in the series on the night scenes of Scripture. This event took place at night. We'll see that as we read down through here in just a moment. Our Father, we love you this morning. Help us now, I pray. May you help me to relay the message that you have put on my heart. I believe that this is the thought that you have for this hour. And I pray that you'll speak to us in a very real way. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we come to one of the most familiar stories in the entire Word of God. It's the story of Daniel being thrown into the den of lions. Now it's been said, and maybe you didn't realize this, but it's been said that at this particular time, Daniel is around 90 years of age. Now in the opening 9 verses of this chapter, we see the scene unfolding for this trying time in Daniel's life. In verses 1 to 3, I've already read it, but I'm going to summarize it again. King Darius places 120 princes over the whole kingdom. He then made three presidents over these 120 princes. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, and it says the king thought to set him, Daniel, over the whole realm. When this took place in verses 4 to 9, the presidents and princes were jealous of Daniel, and they sought to find occasion against him. However, they could not find occasion or fault against Daniel. However, there was one area that these ungodly people knew they could entrap him, and it was in the law of his God. They knew that Daniel was loyal to his God, and nothing would cause him to be disloyal to his God. Let me pause here. Can the world say the same about you? Can the world say, I'll tell you one thing, that guy or that lady will never change in his devotion to his or her God. They knew that he was devoted. These presidents and princes came to the king Darius and told him of a plan that they had devised without letting the king know that this whole plot was against Daniel to destroy him. Now, if you'll notice, they lied to the king by telling the king that all of them had come together. Not all of them had. Daniel wasn't called. They were lying to him here, and they said, all of us have come together, and we've made a decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days except for you, O king, let him be cast into the den of lions. They're flattering the king here. They asked the king then to establish this decree according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. King Darius signed the writing and the decree, and the law was thus established. In this chapter, we see Daniel is being spoken to by King Darius in verse number 20 in the middle of this story. And Darius called Daniel a servant of the living God. A servant is one who is devoted to another or to a cause or to a creed. Now, as we look at this chapter, we can see that Daniel was truly a servant of the living God. He was truly one who was devoted to his God. And in a world where there are many dead and false gods, Daniel knew the one and true living God. Jeremiah 10:10 says the Lord, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. In 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Thank God we know the living God this morning. And more importantly, thank Him that He knows us if we're saved. As we look into this chapter, we see Daniel, this servant of the living God, is placed on display for us. We notice three things about him as the servant of the living God that all of God's children wanting to serve him can learn from. These three things summarize Daniel in this chapter. Now I want to learn these lessons. And let us all determine to learn these lessons and determine to be a servant of the living God. So here we are. We've come down to verse number 10 now. And what has taken place is Daniel's been preferred above the presidents and the princes. They are jealous, they are upset, so they devise an ungodly plan. They go to King Darius, they lie to him and say, everybody's in on this, including Daniel. Everybody's for this. Sign this into decree. So he signs it. He's been tricked. Now let's see what the servant of the living God does. Three things about him. Number one, we see Daniel, the servant of the living God. First of all, he persisted with God. Notice verse number 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Here it is now, as he did aforetime. And you say, what's the point here? This verse right here shares with us how Daniel, the servant of the living God, responded to this wicked plot by his enemies. The Word of God tells us that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house just like he did the day before and the day before that and the day before that, and he opened his windows so as not to conceal anything of his devotion to God. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks to God as he did aforetime. What I'm saying here is Daniel did not let this evil plot affect his dedication and his devotion to his God. He opened the windows so as not to conceal what was going on and what he was doing, and he persisted with his walk with his God. In other words, Daniel's devotion to God, get this, His devotion to God did not depend on his circumstances. He was true to his God no matter what the threat of that day was. God, give us more Daniels. God, give us more Daniels. God, give us more Daniels who do not let their circumstances affect their dedication and devotion to Almighty God. What would it take to stop you is what I'm asking. What would it take to stop you from reading the Bible? What would it take to stop you from coming to church? What would it take to stop you from praying? What would it take to stop you from giving the gospel out? I'm telling you, if your life was threatened, would it stop you from following Jesus Christ? Not Daniel. Not Daniel. It's been said in the famed 12th Legion of Rome's imperial army, there were 40 soldiers who professed their faith in Jesus Christ. One day their captain informed them that Emperor Licinius had sent out an edict commanding all soldiers to offer a sacrifice to pagan gods. These Christian warriors said, and I quote, "You can have our armor and even our bodies, but our heart's allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ." Because of their stance, they were marched onto a frozen lake in the midwinter of AD 320, stripped of their clothes. At that time, they could renounce Christ and be spared from death. But instead, they huddled close together and sang their song of victory, 40 Martyrs for Christ. That freezing night saw men fall to their icy graves. They were freezing to death. And when there was but one man right here, there was just one man left, he stumbled to the shore. In other words, 39 of them had died and there was one left. Just one. And he stumbled to the shore and renounced Christ. And as the officer in charge of guarding these men listened to their singing, he had secretly come to believe in Christ. He immediately replaced the man who had renounced Jesus. And this captain walked out on the ice, took his clothes off, confessed his faith in Christ, and at the sunrise, the Roman soldiers found 40 men who had given their all to Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen, this is something we don't understand much about in America. God forbid it, but it could get this way. Amen. I'm so tempted. God help me. But I'm telling you something, if America does not change, there's no telling what's going to take place in this country. And I'm saying this to you, friends, we don't know what our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are putting up with around the world. There are men and ladies around the world who their lives are threatened every day that they profess to believe in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you one thing, I'm glad the Lord is not going to compare me to some of these faithful servants of His around the world that we have no clue what persecution they're going through. And we here in America, if somebody looks at us cross-eyed, "I'll never go back to that church again. I can't believe somebody said that about me." You listening to me? God help us, friends. Somebody say amen right there. You know what Daniel is? Daniel was a servant of the living God. And it didn't matter what his circumstance was. It didn't matter what the threat was that day. He just kept on walking with God. He persisted with God. Number two, by the way, is God worthy to have our devotion? Is He worthy? Has He saved you? If you're saved today, listen to me. The dear man who's been running the construction site, his name's Keith. He talked to me this week. Got a good testimony. He talked to me this week and he said, "You know, people just don't even think about hell." He said, "Nobody really understands how long forever is going to be." I'm talking about the on-site manager for this construction work. He and I are having a great time together. I rip him, he rips me. It's hilarious. I mean, it's just funny, you know. But he got serious, told me about his faith in Christ, and said, "I'll tell you something. Somebody went to hell and knew it was only 10,000 years, at least there'd be hope." He's telling me this week. And he said, "But forever is forever. If you're saved, You're not going to burn forever, friends. You're going to be kicking up gold dust with the angels for all eternity. How good has God been to you? How good's He been to you? You know what Daniel was saying? I know my life is threatened, but it does not affect my devotion. I will go to my room just like I do all the time. I'm not going to shut the windows. I'm going to put them wide open. And I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to beg God and plead with God and thank God for my life and for what He's done for me. There's no man that's going to get my allegiance and take it away from Christ. This servant of the living God persisted with God. Number two, this servant of the living God was protected by God. He persisted with God, but he was protected by God. We see this in verses 11 and following. Let's read this together, okay? Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You know what that tells me? They were watching. He was the one they were after anyway, so don't you think they'd be around just kind of watching him? Sure they were watching him. Look at verse 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, should be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. How'd they know it was three times? It's just like the world, isn't it, friends? They're watching him. Then the king, verse 14, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He figured it out. He just figured it out. They've tricked me. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute with the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded that they brought, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will be with thee. Folks, that's a pagan king. He's a pagan. But Daniel's testimony was so real and his God was so real in this land that this pagan king said, I'm going to put you in here because I have no choice here. It's the law of the Medes and Persians. When I sign it, I can't go back. I wish I could. It's out of my hands. I can't do it. But your God, who you serve continually, He'll deliver you. The stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, verse 17. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now here's where the night comes in. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He stayed up all night. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. King spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. I can hear his broken voice here. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions? And notice there is no hint of hesitation. The next verse, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. You know, that blessed my heart when I was studying it. Because as I was, I'm not done reading yet, but just let me share a blessing with you. When I was studying this passage of Scripture, Daniel's faith in God gave God an opportunity to show how mighty He is. And here comes this king and says, Oh, Daniel, I can't change this out of my hands. Listen, I'm the big daddy on campus, but I can't save you. But your God who you serve continually, He'll save you. But it tells us that he didn't really believe that completely. Because he went back to his palace and stayed up all night. He refused to have any instruments or music. He fasted all night long. And he went to the den of lions and he said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God able? And all of a sudden he hears something from the other side saying, O king, live forever. That blesses my heart, friends. Can you imagine the king? Can you imagine those enemies who thought they had taken Daniel down? Can you imagine them standing there? What? Look at verse number 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they may that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. The wicked men came together, and they found Daniel praying. And after this, they went to the king and brought up his decree that he had signed in the law. They proceeded to tell him about Daniel, not regarding the decree, and continuing to pray to his God. When the king heard it, he was displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. But the law of the Medes and Persians could not be changed. The king commanded Daniel to be brought. And he looked at Daniel and said, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Daniel was placed into the den of hungry lions. Somebody says, see, this is how the world tries to get around. Oh, those lions were already full. They weren't hungry, really? Read verse 23 and let's see if that's true. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. Notice it now, these lions that were just stuffed to the gills, they weren't hungry at all, you see. The lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever there they came at the bottom of the den. Don't tell me they weren't hungry. Their bodies didn't even hit the ground before they gobbled up them other guys and their children. He was placed in the den of these hungry lions, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet. No man from the outside could get in. But there's somebody already in that den. The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. He didn't have any instruments of music brought before him. He didn't sleep all night long. And early the next morning, he went to the den of lions and he cried with a lamentable voice, the Bible says. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And again, without any hint of hesitation, Daniel said from the inside, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before the old king have I done no hurt. Somebody may be asking right now, why did God do that? Why did he do it? Verse 23 tells us. Notice what it says. Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Notice it. Because he believed in his God. That day the living God came and protected his servant who believed him from these hungry lions. And I'm telling you, friends, that right here we see in this passage that King Darius, without even knowing it, in my opinion, was testing Daniel's God. Because when he came to that den and he said, is your God able? Is he really able? When Daniel believed his God and showed faith in his God and kept on doing what his God told him to do in spite of danger, God came through. He always has, he always does, and he always will. Hebrews 11, 32 and 33 puts it this way. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. It was Daniel's faith in his God. And when he believed his God, God came and protected him. What a comfort to the servant of the living God here, that our time is in His hands. He has the power and ability to deliver us from the hungry lions of this age. We can rest in His care. He will take care of us and not allow anything to hurt us that does not pass through His hands first. Let us trust Him. Let us believe our God. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You know what that word Selah means? It means stop and think about that. Saying, just keep on trusting. Keep on believing. It doesn't matter what the threat may be. There is nothing going to touch you until it passes through His hands first. Number one, the servant of the living God. We see that he persisted with God. He was protected by God. But number three, and really this is what the whole message is about, we see he produced praise for God. He produced praise for God. Look at verse 25 and notice what happened. When this took place, the king comes. He had fasted all night. That's the night scene. God's protecting Daniel while the king couldn't sleep. I dare say that Daniel probably slept on one of the lions. I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it. You don't know what Daniel was doing. He might have been playing hide and seek with him. I don't know. Who knows? But we know that the night that the king could not sleep, that Daniel was in the lion's den believing God. And God sent his angel and took the mouths and shut them. And the king brings Daniel out and throws the enemy in. Aren't you looking forward to when the enemy of our souls is going to be cast into the place where he's trying to cast us? Glory to God. Wonderful. But notice what happened when all this was said and done. The enemy's been eaten. Daniel's on the outside of the den. The king's standing there, and notice what happens. Verse 25. Then King Darius, not Daniel, the pagan king, wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear, notice it now, before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Do you see what happened? Is Daniel getting praised? Is the king looking at Daniel and say, oh, let's bow down to Daniel. Oh, let's just give him praise. Let's give him honor. There's nobody like Daniel. That's not where this story ends. The story ends with Daniel's faith in his God, allowing, if you will, the Lord to protect him through this and take care of him. And when it was obvious that it was God that did this, the king was the most powerful person in this place, friends. And he knew that he could not save Daniel. He knew he could not rule the lions. This showed the pagan king, there is a God who's alive. I mean, listen, there's no doubt, who knows how many gods he had been associated with, but they were all dead things and stone and wood and hay and stubble. But this servant of God who showed his faith in his God gave the living God an opportunity to prove to that pagan king that he's the one he's been searching for all along. We see that this pagan king begins to praise Daniel's God. And notice what he says. He calls him the God of Daniel. And at the end of this, he says, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? The point in all of this is how this pagan king is now giving praise to Daniel's God. Question, what caused it? What caused it? This was brought about, listen to me please, we know it's all God, God working in His servant's life, but this was all brought about by a servant of the living God who says in the face of danger and the face of lions, I'm just going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep believing God because I know in my heart if He wants to, He can deliver me from this. And when Daniel believed his God, God came shining through. Daniel's faith in God produced praise to his God who had been so good to him. May I say to you that this is the way to live life God has given us. We should go through this life believing God no matter what happens. We need to get on our face and ask God to help us with this, friends. It's not easy. You can't in your flesh say, I'm just going to believe God. No. But get on your face and say, I don't understand this. I've got a hungry lion staring me right in the face. And I know this can take me down. This can destroy me. This can wreck my life. This can take me out. Get on your face. Open your windows up in the face of danger. And just keep praying and thanking God for His goodness. And your God will deliver you. And when He does, you don't get honored. He does. This is what life is about. Let us report for duty. Let us say, God, it hurts. That hurts. What a thorn. Some of you feel like the lion's already halfway gobbled you up and you're without a leg now. He's ripped your arm off, up to your shoulder. Some of you feel like He's going for the jugular vein. Why don't you today say, God, help me trust You. Help me believe You. Because I know when it's all said and done that You will be honored through this. You will be praised through this. There's another man in the Bible who gave his life to praise a false god, and his name was Samson. If you remember when they took his eyes out and he was standing in that place where those Philistine people were, the Bible says that when they saw Samson, they praised Dagon. When they saw Samson's life, it gave honor to Dagon. But when the king saw Daniel and his faith in God, could that king have been doubting, is He really the living God? And Daniel, listen please. When he believed God, God was given the opportunity to show to those pagans that I am the living God. I am the one who stops lions' mouths. I'm the one who delivers from the fiery furnace. I'm the one who does this. Don't look at my servant. Look at me. This is what life is about. I ask you a question. Who is your life giving praise to? Who is your faith honoring? There are people today that as soon as something happens, they drop out of church, they stop reading their Bible, they stop praying, they get mad at God, and they blame Him for everything else, and there's an ungodly, wicked world watching all of that all the time. Somebody needs to come to the altar today and say, God, I know You are the living God. But I'm in a den of lions. I need You to show up. I need You to help me. And you keep walking with God, persisting with Him. He'll come and protect you. And through all of it, it's all said and done. It will produce praise to the God who's been so good to you. Simple thought today. It'll change our life if we let it. In this message, I'm coming to a close. I hope you're not, but I am. In this message, we saw Daniel, a servant of the living God, put on display. And the face of the den of lions staring the den of lions right in the face, he persisted with his walk with God. He was protected by his God, and he produced praise for his God. All of God's children should, listen now, I'm just about done. I've got four sentences right here, plus some other things I might add, but anyway. All of God's children, if you're God's child today, you ought to have a desire in your heart to be his servant. His servant. To be a servant of the living God. He's been good to us, hasn't he? Let us strive to be the best servant we can be. Let us trust him and be devoted to him no matter what comes. And he can do great works and get all the glory. Do you believe that today? Don't even answer this. Don't say amen. Just ask yourself in your own heart, do I really believe that God really did that for Daniel? Because if he did, I'm saying if. It's no if. Unfortunately, to the world, it's an if. We know it happened because God said it did. And if you're saved, you can ask Daniel yourself someday. Glory. But if he can stop the mouth of lions, he can help you today. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Father, guide in this. I ask you some questions today, and I ask you simply just to be honest with God. Just be honest. By the way, you can't lie to God. Oh, you can lie, but you can't lie to God. You understand what I'm saying to you? He already knows. Are you his child? Daniel was the child of God in this chapter. Are you his child? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you really been saved? If you're not saved today or you're not sure, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how the living God wants to be your God. The living Savior wants to be your Savior. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Would you do that? How Jesus bled and died and was buried and rose again for you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Jody, something's hit my life and caused me to stop on God. Oh, you're still a Christian, you're still saved, but there's areas in your life where you know you're not being persistent. You know you're not being faithful. Won't you come talk to God about that? You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to talk to somebody else unless you want help. Just come talk to God and say, God, help me to be persistent. Help me to throw my windows wide open and not care what anybody thinks about me, but to walk with you faithfully. Or maybe today you're not believing the Lord to take care of you. Maybe you find yourself in a den of lions and you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe you need to come and ask God to help you to believe him, to trust him, to rely on him. Somebody says, how do you believe? Get on your face and ask God to help you. Take the word of God at face value. Maybe today somebody's here and you say, I'll tell you one thing, my life is producing praise, but it's not producing praise to God. By the way, your life is either producing praise to God or to a false God. There is no in between and there is no options. You can't have it both ways. It's either one or the other. It's not either or, you understand? I don't know what God is speaking to you about. Let's do business with him. I'd like to ask this question. If you say, Jody, I'm in a den of lions today. I'm in a den of lions. And it's something that can take me down, and I understand that. I know that. It might be a heart attitude. It might be a bitterness. It might be a family, whatever. But you say, Jody, I'm in a den of lions. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? You say, I'm in a den of lions. Yes. God help you. Let's talk to God. If you're not saved, come let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it in a great way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If God is speaking to you as Brother Gary sings, come, talk to the Lord as he sings. Come on, come now,
simply
folks. Would you do it?
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Those who are going to be baptized, right quickly, if you'll make your way, we'll prepare for baptism.
All right, you may be seated for just a moment. Let me give you a couple of announcements. We'll take the offering, have the baptismal service, we'll go. There is a new track in the track rack. I encourage you to take some of those. There's three or four different ones now you can use, and those are available for you. As Pastor mentioned, Brother Graham is preaching tonight, a fellowship afterward for that. There's also a soul-winning seminar today. This is the second week, but if you missed the first week, you can jump right in with Pastor at 5:30 in the Berean classroom there on the right, the blue room. Let me also mention, if you're a man and you attend Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, raise your right hand. Good. We have a special event for you this Saturday, gentlemen, 9 o'clock out at Harvest Acres, and this is our abbreviated men's retreat. We're going to meet 5 hours. We're going to eat twice. We're going to have a little preaching, a little bit of exciting stuff going on. And every man needs to be at that retreat. The cost is free. We're going to feed you twice. It won't cost you anything. We're going to let you shoot guns. I mean, what more can you ask for? And Pastor's going to preach a couple messages. Men, this is really important. And I would encourage you, if there's any way you can be there, please come. There's a sign-up sheet in the lobby if you've not signed up in Sunday school, and we need you to be there. There is a yellow, I guess that's yellow, flyer in the lobby for you. It has a map on the back to get to Harvest Acres. Men, we need you to be there, so make plans to join us. Also, next Sunday night, Newcomers Fellowship. How many of you have been coming to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for, say, 6 months or less? 6 months or less, and you're not ashamed of it. Good. All right. We are having a special fellowship for you next Sunday night, and we'll have that over in the in pastor's class in the gym. There's a sign-up sheet for that also, so we'll know how much food to get. So we want you folks to come, get a chance to meet the pastoral staff. We'll get a chance to meet you, and we'll also eat some more. A lot of eating going on around this place. Speaking of eating, the Outdoorsman's Fellowship Wild Beast Feast on May the 12th. All of these things going on, make note of those things. And the Wild Beast Feast really is an outreach event. It's something you can bring some hunting buddies with, fishing buddies with, and they'll hear the gospel. Great time of fellowship there. So lots of things to sign up for, and information for that in the lobby. There are some green sheets out there for you too. Men, if you'll come, we'll receive the offering this morning, and we have a few folks to be baptized today. Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful story about Daniel. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you even in the lion's den. In impossible situations, we have a God who we can trust. And we rejoice in that today, and help us to look to you and trust you, that you might be praised all throughout our lives, and you receive the glory we ask. Now we do ask you, Lord, to bless this offering, the baptismal service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. We have two following the Lord in believers' baptism. This is Allie Davis, and Alyssa Wells is right up here, and we need to vote on them to receive them by membership into the membership of our church through their baptism. Could I get a motion that we receive both of them, Brother Ira? Could I get a second, Brother Nathan? All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. God bless you. This is Allie Davis. She has a lot of family here today. God bless them. And this is her baby bonnet, right? This is her baby bonnet that we're going to be using as her handkerchief today. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. This is Alyssa Wells. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. All God's people said, it's always a blessing to see people trusting the Lord and following the Lord and believers' baptism. We have some other decisions here that we want to... I'm getting these wet, but anyway. Jonathan Keene, if you'll stand. If your dear wife wants to stand there with you, God bless you. And precious, precious couple here. God bless them. And Jonathan has been saved. We've had the privilege of speaking with him and visiting with him, he and his wife. And he's been scripturally baptized, and he has a desire to join this church by statement. And I'd like to say, as pastor, welcome. God bless you. Hope you'll help us around here, you know. Could I get the pleasure of the church? Could I have a vote that we're receiving? Brother Mark, Brother Archer, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. I'm going to raise my hand low because that water's running up and down my arm here a little bit. God bless you. You stay right there, okay? I'll have some folks come by and greet you. God bless you. Then we had some bus children. Kayla, is it DeGrote? Am I right by saying that? If you'll stand there just a moment. And is it Denisha DeGrote, right? You must be sisters. I'm a wise pastor. Both of you are coming today, and you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. Am I right by saying that? So you're asking the Lord to come into your heart today to forgive you and take you to heaven, correct? Are you happy for them? Say a big amen. Amen. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. I'm going to ask Miss Preston, if you wouldn't mind, let's go ahead and usher them out, you know, so they don't get mixed up in the bottleneck right there. Stay on the bus with us now, okay? We'll try to help you. Got a children's discipleship program we want you to go through, all right? God bless you. That's great. Let's all stand together, please. Please be back tonight. I remind you about the soul-winning seminar at 5:30. Church tonight, Brother Graham will be speaking. After church, a farewell fellowship. Glory. Cake, chips, nuts, I think. Whatever it is, it will be good. I encourage you to be here for that. It's good to have Brother Gary's father and mother and brother here. I'm going to ask his father, if you wouldn't mind, to lift your voice and pray for us, sir, please.